Ladies and gentlemen, it is a real privilege to welcome back to the Salieri Report a woman who needs no introduction here, Dr. Laura Thompson, who's the founder and head of the Southern California Institute of Nutrition. And just so that there are no conflicts of interest, is my nutritionist. I can't recommend her highly enough. And even though she has lots of bona fides and is a nutritionist, I will tell you she has a real gift as a healer. I came to know that because her husband, John Rappaport, saying, "You got to talk to Laura. You need real help. She can heal anybody."
Oh, gosh.
and he was right. He was right. So, Laura, it's so great to have you back on the Salieri Report. We're going to be talking about how to detoxify from toxic vaccines. And I want to begin by telling you the story of how I came to realize we had to do another Salieri Report about detoxifying from toxic vaccines. We've already done one on swine flu, if you remember.
Oh, wow. That's right.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I have a little Salieri circle, and when the vaxxed documentary was suppressed at the Tribeca Film Festival, it got a conversation going. One person went down to see vaxxed. They were in Connecticut, went down to New York City, and saw the documentary, came back and reported, and then a discussion ensued about how worried many of the members were about what was happening to grandkids or other kids in their family, and what could they do to communicate this kind of information to their family, and both what the dangers are of toxic vaccines, and then also if you've taken a toxic vaccine, if somebody's been harmed, how do you heal? How do you detoxify? And before we get going, I hear that you and John just went to see vaxxed.
We did. Well, I don't know if you may know this, but the vaxxed team was actually here at our place because they were actually going to include John in the movie. And for whatever reason, they didn't. Some of it had to do with the fact that they wanted him to shave his beard right there on the spot. And he, you know, hemmed and hawed and didn't think he wanted to do that. But anyway, after seeing the movie, I can see it was a very focused movie, very easy to understand. And I really think that maybe if part two comes out, then John's place would be more appropriate. It was very, very impactful. It was extremely well received. I don't know what the audiences are like in other parts of the country. I wasn't surprised by the audience in Southern California, but they did a question and answer after the movie, and you know, tons of people got up to talk, and people are really asking a lot of questions from seeing this movie. It was so well done. It was so focused. The point was made very clearly about the whistleblower, and you know,
this is the CDC whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson. I believe
yeah.
is his name.
I don't know if
yeah.
he's yeah. Right, no relation.
No relation.
But it was so impactful, and I guess it was actually heart-wrenching because the mom who was in the film was actually at the questions and answers after the film. And she is a force to be reckoned with. She is a powerhouse. She has been through the mill. It was quite an experience, and I can see why the movie is being so well received, even though the reviews, you know, a lot of the conventional reviews are horrific. All you have to do is go see it and look at the audience, and they're like absolutely stunned and want more. Like, let me have more. Give me more. This is really what we've been trying to get at for so many years.
Well, I think we've hit a tipping point on this topic, and something's going, and that's why I want to encourage it to go as far as it can before the boom sort of comes down after the inauguration, which I think, you know, they're likely to push back. But it's possible to hit a tipping point so it won't work. I will say this, every time the tapeworm has gotten backed up, it's by mothers. It's homeschooling,
my gosh.
it's swine flu. Mothers are the most dangerous political force in America and worldwide. But that's, you know, if Mr. Global and the tapeworm are afraid of anything, they're afraid of mothers when they get together.
Wow, mothers rock.
And get the bit in their teeth, right, right. So you want as many mothers as possible getting the bit in their teeth over toxic vaccines. So let's just dive in. So what, tell us about vaccine toxicity and tell us how we see the symptoms that it's happened.
Yeah, so obviously sometimes the toxicity is obvious and sometimes it's not. So basically, you know, you have, just to kind of give you an example, I had a nurse who was a client of mine. You know what, Catherine, I want to say something before I go into that.
Please.
As far as your introduction, I want to make sure that people understand I'm not a medical doctor. And when I work with people and helping them, you know, cleanse, et cetera, I think the most important thing to remember is that the body does the work. I don't do anything. I just give the information, and the body does the healing. So I was working with a client who's a nurse, and she was a pediatric nurse, and she had just switched her job to triage because she was so devastated by what she'd seen in the pediatric units as a result of vaccinations. You know, everything from seizures to death on the table. And I asked her, I told my husband, John Rappaport, about it after I spoke with her. And I had asked her, would you be willing to be interviewed, you know, with, you know, just anonymously? And she said yes. And then I asked him if he would be interested in interviewing her. And he said yes. I tried to get in touch with her, and I never heard from her again. So I think she wanted to keep her job. But when she told me that, and this is just one pediatric nurse, you know, one little person like us, the rest of us, doing their job, I thought, oh, my gosh, how many other places and people are seeing this and not doing anything about it, you know? And so all I can say is what I've seen in my practice, and what I've seen means what people have reported to me. And that is everything from parents of children who were diagnosed autistic that lost their ability to make eye contact the day after their vaccination and their ability to speak properly. I mean, those are sort of the more obvious things. That's, you know, ultimately damage to the nervous system. And then you have the child that has seizures. I know my nephew, after a flu vaccine, had seizures the next day. And it's really horrible when you, I understand what you're saying about, you know, your circle and grandmothers and mothers and not just women, but it tends to be the women that are really taking, you know, taking the bull by the horns here, that want to do something because you see, you know, reactions like this, and how is this going to impact the child, you know, down the road? How many things are going to crop up years later that you don't even know about? Because damage to the nervous system could be obvious, like we just said, or it could be just insidious and you know, slow build until something happens later in life, whether that be MS or, you know, some autoimmune disorder. Sometimes the autoimmune disorders, I think, you need to look at, you know, what kind of vaccine may have. You know, this is the thing. All problems occur in the body as a result of multiple injuries, you know, layer upon layer of insults to the body. So it's hard to just say, all right, that was the vaccination.
Right.
You know. And there's, in other words, there's a setup. There has to be a setup the body has to be in a certain place in order for a vaccination to affect it that way. And that place would be already maybe toxic buildup with an inability to detoxify efficiently. And then the vaccine comes in and just, you know, is the, you know, the icing on the cake, so to speak.
One of the things I wanted to mention, we have, we're going to be using, and let's go to the movies for the, for this interview, trace amounts, which Robert De Niro, after, when he was interviewed about vaxxed after the brouhaha at Tribeca, strongly recommended people watch. And it's about the mercury poisoning, including in the thimerosal preservative in vaccines. So a lot of it's about vaccines, but it goes through the explosion of autism from 1 to 10,000 up to now 1 in 63 and rising. Mm-hmm. And it ties it very much to the implementation of heavy vaccination schedules for children. And if you look at the graphings, you know, by year of the implementation of heavy schedule and the skyrocketing of autism, you know, it's pretty remarkable. And maybe if you could just describe heavy schedules, because a lot of people listening have had vaccinations, but they never had the heavy schedules. Big difference.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was vaccinated. Were you?
Yep.
Yeah, and we had, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 vaccinations or something over a period
right.
of 10 years, and certainly not on day one of life, and probably not even before age 2 or school age. And
right.
now, I mean, you're getting a Hep B on, you know, your first day, and oh, my gosh. So, first of all, there are no studies on what happens when multiple vaccinations are given to a person. And, you know, like there's nothing scientifically proven or even been examined about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 vaccinations coming in the same day. That to me is like, wow, how could you not at least, I mean, if you're going to be coming from the scientific point of view, why aren't you even going to take it that far to scientifically, quote unquote, prove that it's okay? So that's number one. So, you know, the kids are guinea pigs. That's where you're starting. And then, you know, why is it that some children have reactions and some don't? Well, some children have reactions because they can't effectively detoxify. So if they're being given one vaccination, maybe they'll be okay. But if they're given a couple, 2, 3, it might be too much for the body to handle, especially if they're already in a compromised state. And some people, you know how everybody's different, some people just do not detoxify as quickly as others. An example for an adult would be someone who's really sensitive to alcohol and can say they're, you know, wine drinkers or drink, you know, some form of alcohol, and they say, I can't drink anymore. Or,
right.
you know, I can only do 1 or 2, and I can't go beyond that. And other people can do 4, 5, 10.
Right.
So some people can detoxify more readily than others. And the ones that have difficulty detoxifying would probably be the ones that would have more obvious insults, more injury that would be, you know, that you would see. So the whole thing of these schedules, these heavy schedules, aside from the insult to the body, why are we creating, what do we think, everybody's a wimp? That kids don't have the ability to develop their own immune system, to build their own armies? Why do we need to have artificial immunity when we have perfectly good immune systems that can be strengthened and supported by doing certain things? Without the need for, you know, all this, all the artificial stuff coming in. Oh, boy. Sorry.
Okay, so let's say let's start with kids. My child gets a vaccine, shows symptoms of real problems, whether seizures, fever, whatever. What do I do?
Well, that would probably be short-lived, and I would say the next step would be for a child there are different, I usually take much gentler approaches with children. First of all, there are ways, you know, if there's a problem at the site of injection, there are ways that you can topically, you know, help to, you know, anti-inflammatory ways of treating the situation. So, because you have to look at this as a trauma. You know, this isn't just toxicity, but this is trauma. And, you know, aside from the emotional trauma of, you know, needles and things, it's a trauma to the body, to the nervous system. And so what is the effect of trauma? The effect of trauma is inflammation, some of which you may see, like I said, at the site of the injection. You can do a castor oil pack, which is, you know, taking castor oil and putting it on a piece of cotton or wool flannel and putting it directly on the site of injection. And then you put a piece of saran wrap over that and then a heating pad over that. And I don't know. I mean, some children...
Now, I just have to stop you right there. You got me to start doing castor oil packs, and I now swear by them.
Oh, great.
When you first said you've got to do it, I was like, you must be kidding me.
Yeah,
you must be kidding. If you hadn't been insistent, I would never have done it. I just, you know, I don't know. There was a big mental obstacle there. But I just want to reiterate that it's an amazing healing technique.
It is. It is. It almost seems kind of prehistoric in a way, in these days of technology. Like you actually have to do something, you know.
Right.
But you have to be patient. And the child has to be patient. That thing has to be on there for a good 10, 15 minutes. But anyway, that's a really good thing to do at the site of injection. What I would do if a child had a reaction, and actually even if a child didn't have a reaction, I tell all the parents I work with, if they decide to vaccinate, that you should like go in an Epsom salt bath. I mean, the child's going to take a bath anyway. Just put some Epsom salts or some, you know, other types of salts in there, and because that's going to be, you know, minor form of detoxification, but it's going to help. It's going to help to bring down inflammation. And then there are other things. There's something called a Medi Body Pack, which is a mud pack that you can actually put there at the site of injection. So I won't belabor all the details of that, but those are a couple of things that can be done that are pretty easy. I think people should have these in their house anyway, in their medicine cabinet. You should have mud packs, and you should have castor oil, you know, and you should have like an MSM cream, which would be an anti-inflammatory cream. It feels really nice. It's cool. It doesn't hurt, doesn't sting, or anything like that. And then homeopathics. So I'm a huge proponent of homeopathics in general because of how they communicate at the cellular level. If you think of our cells as like a computer chip, they're sort of, you know, like they function with minerals and with an electrical charge. And so homeopathics are really good at turning on the cells or quieting the cells. And the cell at the cellular level is what you want to get to with this, because you can, the bowels could be moving normally, you know, the other areas of detoxification, urination, the skin could all seem to be fine, but the cells may be limping along, and that could be a problem that you might not even see. So I use various lymphatic drainage formulas. I use vaccine detox formulas. Are very gentle. They're great for children. They don't taste bad. They're easy to take, and you just need a small amounts of them. There's a certain schedule that you can follow, and so those would be the immediate things that I would think of that a person could do. Whether the child has had, an obvious reaction or not.
Now, when would you do testing?
So, you know, I utilize, I tell people to get various types of testing depending upon, you know, I've really like biofeedback assessments. I have a biofeedback person that I tell people to go to. She works, you know, long distance. I know you've done that, and you've felt good results from that. And the reason I like it is not a medical test, and it, you know, it's not going to show you, you know, scientific values of things, but it's really good at looking at how the cells resonate with various toxins, and you know how the body's functioning at an organ and glandular level, where the areas of inflammation are. And sometimes people will do this assessment before they even vaccinate to see if the child, you know, if the, maybe we can get some things working more efficiently before the vaccination comes into the
right.
body.
Right.
But certainly most people don't think that way. I don't want to, I'm not trying to, I'm not being negative. And actually your audience is probably different, but most
right.
people don't really work on things until something happens, you know?
Right.
And so at that point I will usually suggest that. Sometimes if it's a vaccination that has a mercury or aluminum in it, I will recommend that a person get metal testing, and they can do that on their own because I don't do testing. There's a website called directlabs.com, and they offer, you know, discount testing to the public. They have a medical doctor on their staff there, and you can just do it right online. You get your requisition form, you take it to a local lab, and so you could do metal testing if that's necessary. It may not be necessary for most people, but you know sometimes metals are the reason for neurological damage, so that's an option. Catherine?
So after let's say they do testing and they find out that they've got serious heavy metal problem. So trace amounts goes through mercury, you know, but there's aluminum, there's other things. So let's say they have very serious heavy metal toxicity. What do they do?
Well, there are different ways to approach that. Well, first of all, I'm a huge fan of topical detox, like I just said. I'm a huge
right.
fan of baths, foot soaks, castor oil packs, and then there's some, the Medi Body Pack, which is a mud pack. I have them do mud packs, the palms of their hands and the soles of their feet. You know, this is kind of goes along with the Eastern form of medicine, which, you know, is basically opening up the meridians
right.
in the body, because I think, you know, the body wants to be in balance. And if you open, I always say, create a good exit plan. If you open the channels that thing can exit through, then, you know, if the doors are open, there's going to be much better chance that it's going to go out the door. And so opening the channels would be, you know, if you look at the channels of elimination, they would be the bowel, the kidneys, the lungs, the lymph, the liver, and the skin. Those are all your exit doors. And so these mud packs are really one of the first steps that you take, you know, sort of gets things opened up, you know, maybe the key that unlocks the door, so to speak.
I have to stop you here and explain that you got me to do this. And at one point, I had done a lot of chelation, but I was very tired, and we were trying to figure out what was causing it. And you said, you know, maybe stuff has gotten built up in the thyroid, so let's do the mud packs. And after my experience with castor oil, I knew that whatever you said was going to work. But the idea of sitting out in the middle of Hickory Valley with mud all over my neck and hands and feet while my neighbors, you know, drove by in their pickup truck laughing at me, I thought, you know, this is really, I was just like, Laura, are you serious? Do I really have to do this? Well, after the first time I did it, I felt like I had taken a time capsule Dexedrine. It was like
wow.
massive energy. And I thought, oh my God, can this really be true?
Yeah, isn't that great? You unlocked it. You got rid of
yeah.
the blockages.
It totally worked. I said, okay, well, I can look ridiculous in front of all the pickup trucks from here on out. If you know. Because I'm sure, you know, the only way I can get time capsule dexedrine is illegal. So
Yeah,
I might as well
right.
do mud packs. Anyway.
Yeah, so I love the topical forms of detox because they really basically support the body to do the best it can. You know, give the body what it needs to do as much of it can as it can on its own. I utilize again different homeopathics for liver function, for lymph decongestion, for kidney function, to help again help the filters, help cleanse, help the filters do what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to filter the blood,
Right.
you know.
What about
And
the diet?
okay, so with diet, I always say the best way to look at diet is to just not put in the bad things. You know, I mean, there are obviously many things one can do with diet, but the first order of business is to, you know, do what you always tell your subscribers to do, and that is get the chemicals out of your life as much as possible. You know,
Right.
be organic and go with slow food. Try, you know, in other words, what, you know, whatever takes time to make is probably better than anything else, and go with high ORAC foods, high antioxidant foods, you know, fruits, vegetables. Of course, berries have gotten huge acclaim, and utilizing foods that feed the body and strengthen the body and strengthen the immune system. I mean, foods actually are therapeutic, and that's why
Right.
we eat. We don't
Right.
just eat for substance. We eat to feed various aspects of the body. So, and then, you know, going with real food, and going with food that actually is easy to digest, high enzymatic food, food that's raw, not all raw, but you know, helping your digestive system utilize the food, turn it into fuel for energy, and instead of I don't know, you know, how if a lot of
Right.
empty foods and
Well, you
synthetic.
have to build up your gut. And
Well,
so you
that's true
need,
too.
right.
That's true too. If we think that 60% of our immune system is in the gut, which is quite an alarming percent when you think about it.
Right.
So getting the gut healthy is the, I think, the primary part of detox. Aside from what we've just said, the next step is feeding the gut. So utilizing fresh food that's high in enzymes, and foods that actually your body can, you know, use for because it's been pre-digested, and creating the exit of the toxins, because when you utilize foods that support digestion, then a lot of the toxins are just going to naturally go out with it, as opposed to, and that's, by the way, at least two bowel movements a day.
Right.
If you're eating two or three meals a day, it should be at least two bowel movements a day. It long, about the size of a large banana, medium to dark brown in one piece, flowing easily out of the body.
Right.
And so you help the body just eliminate as much of the toxins on its own as possible before you do a detox plan. Because the dangerous thing about doing a detox plan is if the detox basically inspires toxins to leave the body, and the toxins are trying to leave, but there's no door for them to go out, then they're just going to keep cycling around, and then you're going to be in bed. You know, it's going to wreak havoc
Right.
in the body. So
Right.
detoxification plans can back up if you don't have, you know, the gut in good order.
Now, would you use the foot bath with a child? You would use a foot bath with a child.
Sure. You know,
Okay.
the only problem with children is that, you know, they're just spunky.
Right. Right.
So they may not do things for a long period of time, you know. But, you know, I have friends who I'm a nana, and my friends have may have granted me the right to be the official Nana. And so my granddaughter's 3 years old, and I you know, before she was born, nobody, they're so pure that we're never going to have TV. You know, she's never going to see anything. You know, she's going to be totally sheltered from that which other children see. And of course, that's kind of statement always comes back to bite you, because now I can see that she'll do almost anything if she's got the iPad in front of her. So you put the child with the iPad. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to tell people how to parent, but you know, sometimes right. You have to do things like that to get done what you need to get done.
Right.
So the foot bath would be fine for a child. It's just minerals, you know. and I think, you know, you kind of make a fun game out of it, and that would be great. It's a great technique. It's a wonderful thing for parents to teach their children some of these techniques that they can use for the rest of their life and then pass that on
right.
to their children.
Right. Yeah, these are I think, given the toxicity in the environment, these are things that people need to do on a lifelong basis. It was interesting in both Trace Amounts and in the movie, Vaxxed was produced by Andrew Wakefield, and who was a doctor in Britain who lost his medical license fighting the establishment over vaccines and now lives in the United States. But they made a movie, a fictional drama based on the story. And in the story, it centers around one child who Wakefield worked with, and that child successfully detoxed. And so there are a lot of, you see it in Trace Amounts, you see it in that other documentary. So detoxing really can work and bring about significant improvement.
I've seen some children, I've worked a lot with autistic children and mostly high functioning or Asperger's, some less high functioning, but I've seen a lot of the children improve. And I mean, I can remember one girl I worked with, actually a girl, that which is a lot more unusual, who went from special classes to, you know, normal classes. And I know the family at one point moved, and down the road, like 3-4 years down the road, the new school didn't know that she had been in special classes before, and the teacher was amazed, you know, because she was totally normal.
Right.
So it can happen.
Right. It can happen. It's a lot of work, but it can happen.
I want to mention something about adults. Of course, all of what we're talking about applies to adults. Well, one of the things that I've seen with flu shots is that maybe 2-3 weeks after the flu shot, I've seen people break out with herpes. And I've seen this probably 15 times. So I think that the importance of building the immune system before having a flu shot. I mean, some people have to have them because of their job, and some people just want to have them for whatever reason. So if you're going to do that, at least do your due diligence and work on your immune system, support, strengthen your immune system. Well, all the time, but especially before doing that, because something happens with a viral load with the
right.
flu shot, and multiple stories of people then having shingles or herpes after.
I had a very dear friend who every year got the flu shot automatically, and finally, when they couldn't get people to take the swine flu, they integrated it into the flu shot in 2010. I don't know if you remember that. And I begged her not to take it. And as soon as she took it, it's as though her entire immune system just disappeared and the cancer just went wild.
Oh, gosh.
And nothing could stop it. It was as though she had literally, blown up the dam and the cancer just roared through.
Oh,
And
my
it
gosh.
was, bang. You could just see it and watch it.
Wow.
Right. So if you're already managing something, some kind of condition, it's that issue of, can your immune system afford to take the hit and still deal with
Exactly.
whatever it is you're already dealing with?
Exactly.
Right.
It's layer
Right.
upon layer of insults to the body, and the vaccines, they're big insults.
So
So.
there's one thing I want to mention before we leave kids entirely, and that is one of the people who I most respect, who has worked with autistic kids as well as teachers. They're a real expert. They've done it professionally all their life. And one of the things they said to me, we were sitting around talking about it, and they said, I've come to the conclusion that at some very deep subconscious level, one of the things that's causing the trauma is that deep down inside, they know their parents can't and will not protect them, that they're at risk, and their parents are not only not protecting them, they're facilitating the harm. And they know that at some sort of subconscious level. And that's part of what makes them crazy.
Wow. That sort of goes back to what I said earlier is, why aren't we relying on what our bodies were meant to do, which is to be strong unto itself and build your internal army. And I think if parents understood that, then they wouldn't see the need for the vaccine. I mean, I work with a multitude of families who think the opposite, who think in the way that I just said. They
Right.
think the opposite of how a lot of conventional families think. Conventional families think they're doing a good thing. This is the ultimate way of them protecting their child.
Right.
And they just don't know. They don't understand about the way the body works.
Well, here's the thing. They can't fathom. The problem is if you don't know, and then you have to face how dangerous this is. It has huge ramifications for your whole paradigm, your whole world,
Oh
everything.
yeah.
So it's a
I was
big
just.
leap for them to even
It is. It,
fathom,
I
right?
know you have to. Oh my gosh, it's so difficult. I don't know how families do it nowadays. Families in that ballpark that we're talking about. I mean, I just was. I've traveled in various parts of the country with this family that my husband and I are close with, and we're looking for, really solid place to live. And so some of the first things that we're doing is looking at the schools for this 3-year-old that we're close with, and the first thing that we're looking at is, what is the vaccination policy in that town, in that city?
Right,
I mean,
right.
what are they, or in that state, what are they going to allow? Oh, as far as the affidavits that you need, for exclusion, and are the school systems going to be open to it? Are the private
Right.
schools going to be open to it? How,
What are the
ah.
health freedom rules? What are the health freedom rules and culture? Right. I wanted to ask you, have you ever seen a documentary called The Horse Boy?
No.
It's about a child from California who was severely autistic, who the family took him to a healer in Mongolia who literally, with his hands, manipulated the child's electromagnetic field and produced dramatic improvements.
Wow.
And what you see, watching it, what you sort of intuitively see is there's something going on with this toxicity which completely, messes up the wiring. if you will, in the aura, in the electromagnetic field. It's very interesting. The last thing before we leave kids, in terms of, I'm trying to collect, and we have a commentary up on the website called A Collection Cup for Vaccine Materials. We're looking to identify the best documentaries to give to parents to help them understand the risks of toxic vaccines. And two that have come to the fore, one is Trace Amounts, one is The Real Good Movie, another I haven't seen Vaxxed yet, but I'm assuming Vaxxed will be one. Any other documentaries or movies you would recommend?
Well, what about Sherry Tenpenny's arsenal of documentaries of her lectures? And
right.
I mean, right. I don't know the exact names of them. I have a few of them, and I don't. I know I could walk to find them, but I wouldn't want to take the time on this call.
Right.
But I could email you that.
Okay, that would be great. I will definitely add that to it. Okay, adults.
Yeah.
Yes. All the people, you know, what's amazing is the quality of intellect and personal integrity it takes to become a leader in this area. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, and, the amount of the bravery involved
right.
with it too. I mean, you have to. I would imagine that most people who are in that camp just don't even really think about it. They just are so passionate. But when I look at it, I think, oh my gosh, that takes so much guts to be able to stand up, and especially as an MD.
Right.
Oh.
To wave the facts in front of $1 trillion when you got $1 trillion saying the sky is green and you're saying, well, wait a minute, I've got the facts, the sky is blue. It's, you know, it's both an intellectual feat and an enormous courageous feat. Okay, so adults. We've gone through kids. What do adults do in addition to all the things that we've described for kids?
Well, you know, there are a variety of, I guess it depends on, you know, are we talking about adults who are detoxifying from childhood vaccines? Is that what you mean?
And it could be from, what if they just got a tetanus shot and
yeah,
it had the
right.
Marisol in it and they're in real trouble?
Right, yeah. Yeah, so there are homeopathics that work for helping to detoxify metals. And that, I mean, I'm, again, a huge proponent of homeopathics and working at the cellular level. I just want to say, anybody who's using homeopathics or is going to go that route, you always want to make sure you're doing what's called drainage. So there are different formulas that you can use for draining the lymph, draining the mesenchyme, you know, which is a meshwork of connective tissue that form lymph vessels and blood vessels that really help in circulation. So there are products that you can use to help the drainage pathways so that your body can more effectively eliminate at a deep level, because again, you can use things like EDTA. I have a product that I like to use called Ultra D, which has EDTA and has other things to help the toxins be eliminated through the bowel. But you really want to make sure you're also working at the macro level and the micro level, the gut level,
right.
the organ level, as well as the cellular level.
So now with EDTA, you're talking about chelation, right?
Yeah, but this is an oral, yeah. This is an oral form of
chelation.
Yeah, and it's a product that works really great for the bowel. It has blue-green algae. It has a few other things in it that, in fact, I take myself through a series of that product about 2 or 3 times a year, just, you know, as a standard thing that I
right.
that I do.
Now, my description, my layman's description of chelation is it gets the toxins out of the fat and into the bloodstream.
Yeah. I mean,
is that correct?
Chelation means to claw, you know, so there's something about the substance that actually claws or binds to the toxin, whatever toxin that may be, and, you know, and then pulls it, you know, yeah, exactly. You want it to come out of the fat so cells. You want it to go into the bloodstream, and then you want it to go out the channels of elimination, right, whether it be the bowels or the kidneys or whatever.
Well, I have to tell you, because, you know, I did oral chelation, and I really should do more, but I did oral chelation for a long time, and if it wasn't for the foot baths, the detox foot pads, and the colonics, I don't know how people chelate without all that support.
Well, I guess some do and some don't, you know. Some,
right,
some, it depends on the efficiency of that person's detox system. That some people probably don't need to do that, and other people need to, you know, do the whole gamut.
Right. Now, do you ever use intravenous chelation?
I mean, I've recommended to, I mean, of course, I can't do it, but I recommend people going to, I have a couple people that I refer to locally here for people to get, like, Myers cocktails or glutathione pushes or that whoever they recommend they see would make the right recommendation for them. But it's a great thing to do. Some people will benefit greatly from that.
Right. Okay, what else for an adult?
I utilize a special transdermal glutathione, which I find to be more effective than oral glutathione, which is, of course, a dynamite antioxidant detoxifier. So this is, again, a topical supplement, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually put it right over the liver. Really helps the liver to detoxify. I take adults through, various methods of supporting the immune system, of getting the gut healthy before really going through a detoxification level of supplements. Because most people, even though they think that, you know, they feel okay, or they always think that they're doing well digestive-wise, just probably aren't. And
right.
So that's the most important thing to do. And supporting the immune system in the gut, which is the gut-associated lymphoid tissue, the GALT, there are several products I use for that to support immune function and, get the gut ready to then go through detoxification. There are different substances that are really good for that. One, by the way, is colostrum. And, you know, you can take colostrum capsules or powder, and children can take it too, of course. And it's super good for the immune system in general, but also really great to support the GALT bodies in the intestinal, in the gut.
One of the things I want to point out is we have two interviews with you in our archives. One is on building up your immune system, and the other is on detoxification. And I think if you're going to seriously address any toxicity, including from vaccines, you want to use, not just listen to this interview, but listen to both of those, because they're super.
Oh, yeah, great.
Okay, any other, for adults, any other materials or that you would recommend they look at to help them detox from vaccines or understand what has happened with vaccines?
You know, my book, Our Children Are What Our Children Eat, actually applies to both,
right,
you know, adults and children. And I have a whole section in there on vaccinations and even going, you know, down to listing the ingredients and, you know, what the ingredients are for and how they can affect the body and various techniques you can use to, you know, get things out of the body. And lots of questions that parents can ask because, you know, my job is always just to help people make the right decision for themselves, you know. And so I think once people start asking questions and understanding, you know, does my child need to be vaccinated before the age of 2? You know, is there a family history of vaccine reactions? Is my child sick right now? Does my child have any allergies? You can ask yourself these questions too, but once you've gone through sort of a, I guess, a period of self-examination and become really, really strong in your ideas about this topic, I think most people are going to make different decisions. And that holds true for the decisions about themselves, whether it be, you know, a senior who's going for a shingles vaccine or the many number of people that are going for flu shots regularly.
I think the hardest thing for a lot of people is if you look at the marketing by the official reality of how good these things are for you and how safe they are, You have so many powerful and smart and intelligent and attractive people who are so adamant and clear, and they refer to all the scientific evidence. You know, the presentation is quite amazing, and you can't fathom that it's all complete yah-yah, which it is. Or,
I think that what a lot of people can't really fathom is could this be malicious? Which I don't think most of it is, but, you know, especially for people.
Well, that's where you and I disagree.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know my husband and I disagree on this too. I'm not looking at this through rose-colored glasses, but I really do think that basically everybody's good. But I know that I know there are people that are not, and I know there are machines that are not. But I don't think that most family doctors and most people at the level that the majority of the population are dealing with, I don't think they're bad and malicious.
Right. They're not bad or malicious. Right.
Yeah,
they're ignorant or they're afraid.
Yeah. So, I mean, gosh, how horrible it must be to face the fact that everything or most everything you learned is... I was sitting with a pharmacist the other day, a young kid. Oh, gosh, 20... Well, yeah, I'm not that young, I guess. He's like 28, maybe. And he married the daughter of a girlfriend of mine who's fairly holistic, and, you know, she's using tea tree oil, and she's, you know, taking supplements, and she had just told him about the benefits of hemp oil. And he was sitting, I was at a party, and I was asking him, how are you feeling about your job? Because I always think what a great job would be to have a young pharmacist who understands medications, work with people who don't understand medications. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking to him about that, and I could see he was so frustrated because he'd learned, went to school, did all the stuff. He'd been working for like 5-6 years in a pharmacy, and he's thinking to himself, this is all crap. What am I doing? I mean, look at what hemp oil does. Why can't I tell people about that? So I'm sure there are a lot of doctors who, you know, like you said, that, you know, they're either fearful or, I mean, it's hard to examine and look at that and say, oh, my gosh, where have I been? My head's been in the sand, you know?
Well, I think the reason the swine flu, the effort to make it mandatory failed was so many doctors and nurses said no. We're not taking it, and we refuse to give it to anybody else. And they just, it stalled out. There were so many, there was such an adamant pushback. And ever since then, if you listen to what they've been trying to do to mandate it in schools and jobs, you know, they've been going to the, you know, plan B to try and mandate it bottom up, you know, by the very forceful, very granular, you know, push. So it's, you know, this is definitely a major debate, but I do think, you know, if you look at what's going on, people are going to need to know what the risks are, but they're also going to need to know if they do take a vaccine or their kids do take vaccines and have harmful reactions. We're going to have to know how to detox too.
You know, if there's one area of foods that I neglected to mention, and that is the area of green foods, the algaes, the seaweeds, the blue-green algae, the spirulina, the chlorella, different ones for different purposes. They're not only so great for building the body and strengthening the immune system, but they're also really good at helping to detoxify.
Right.
And you can make them taste good. You know, there are ways that you can put them in juice or smoothies and
Every day, spirulina and cilantro, that's me. Okay, well, Laura, just before we close, go through how people find you, how they find your book, how they find your website, how they arrange to see you if they want. Tell us how we access you and keep up with your work.
Okay. Okay. So, my phone number, 800-608-5602. And we have internet phones, so you do reach a person, but you have to press some buttons before you can reach the person. Email, it would be info@scicn.com. That's Southern California Institute of Clinical Nutrition. My book is Our Children Are What Our Children Eat, and so that can be ordered. I did decide that I wanted to do a Solari deal, so
ooh, good.
I could give people $50 off on their first consult with me, which is quite a nice thing.
Yes, it is.
I don't think I've ever done that before, but I figure. Solari people are probably all doing good things, so I should give...
Well, the one thing I will say is anybody who ends up working a lot with Solari Report subscribers always says, oh, God, I love Solari Report subscribers. We just did a luncheon in New York City with Richard Dolan. It was the second one we did at Club 21. It was fabulous. And Richard came and he said, oh, I've really been looking forward to this. I so love talking to Solari Report subscribers. So...
I know you've attracted a fine group of people that are really doing so much of their own good work.
Yeah, they're amazing people. That's why we love to get them together when we can do a luncheon in a place. We ought to do a luncheon in San Diego. That's what we ought to do.
That sounds good.
We'll do it. Let's do it in Carlsbad.
Okay, I'll have you over.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, you have to figure out where we have the luncheon. Who has a big private room? And if you figure that, we'll do one in Carlsbad. Okay, well, Dr. Laura Thompson, you are a blessing to all of us. You're certainly a blessing to the Solari Network, and we want to thank you for everything you've done, and thank you so much for helping us figure out how we detox from vaccines. If you have any ideas about great materials, just send them, and I'll post them, okay?
Yeah, I'll do that. And thank you, too, so much, Catherine. You guys have been great support to me, and I always love doing the calls with you.
Okay. Well, we'll do it again.
Okay.
You have a great day. Bye.
You too, Catherine. Okay, bye-bye.